Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here today. I'm in Chicago, Illinois with my co-host in Honolulu, Hawaii, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does someone born in Memphis, Tennessee, and raised by three foster parents in Louisiana, become a success in the banking and telephone industry? This is the story of Cynthia Sharp, who attributes her relationship with Jesus Christ to being pivotal in her life experiences. We pause for a moment, even here at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know, even as Cynthia Sharp knows the love of God, that you would know the love of God today. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how challenging your current situation might be, dear friend, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. It's no longer just that God is so far away and distant and that I can't know him or that you can't know him. No, no, no. It's that you can know God through Christ. So would you open your heart to the Lord Jesus? Receive him as your Savior and Lord. Receive the work that he's done to redeem you and restore you. You know, your life on this earth can be a life of restoration, a life of hope, and of course, hope for eternal life as well. Right now, in your moment. Hey, this is your moment. We believe that. Cynthia Sharp has been a Christian for over 3.5 decades. She graduated from Louisiana State University. She's been married to Bob for 38 years. They have 2 daughters. She attends South Shore Christian Fellowship in Hawaii, led by Pastor Bud Stonebreaker. This is a previously recorded interview. So open your heart to hear what the Lord has to say to you through Cynthia.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Louisiana, southern Louisiana, in a small town called New Iberia, a Cajun town.
Cajun town. Well, if you mention Cajun town, I'm thinking about Cajun food.
Which is?
Cajun cuisine.
Wonderful.
Well, from your vantage point, what makes it so wonderful?
As far as the food or the people?
Yes. Well, the food first and then the people.
Well, the food, I like spicy things, and of course, Cajun food is spicy. But what makes it the food good is just the people that make it, because it's a lifestyle. I'm sure it's like a Hawaiian people, you know, they have their own cuisine, and it's a lifestyle. It's not just the food itself. It means something to people. And it tastes so good. I mean, my taste buds will say it's fantastic, so...
And the people.
I love the culture of Louisiana. To tell you the truth, I don't think Louisiana is a beautiful state. I would prefer not to live there. But when I go home to see my family, I always am amazed at how gentle and wonderful and kind Southern people are. They have Southern hospitality, and that's a true statement.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned family. You weren't born in Louisiana, were you?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, so born in Memphis, raised in Louisiana, but you talked about family. Describe for us what your family situation was like growing up.
Well, and that's where I'll have to start pretty much at the beginning. Like I was saying, I was raised by my mother for several years, but my mother was considered unstate by the state of Louisiana, unfit by the state of Louisiana, and they took my sister and I away from my mother and put us in foster care. But my mother had married 9 times. She had 7 children, and I was the third. Well, I was right in the middle. I was the fourth child, right in the middle. But she only kept my sister Rose and I together because the other fathers claimed their children, but evidently mine and my sister's father did not claim her as his child. So my mother always had Rose and I together. When we were about 6 years old, my mother moved us to Louisiana because she had married a man from there. And it was not a good atmosphere because he was a violent man, and we went through many violent situations in our household. And because of a fight that they had, she took us back to Arkansas where my grandmother lives, and then bought us back again. It's a long story, but she brought us back to the same household, the same father, the same man, and they had another fight. And when we woke up in the morning, our mother was gone, and we didn't have a clue where she was. And we said, "Where's our mother?" And he says, "Well, she's out." And he, I hate to use this word, but it's his words, "She's out whoring around." And so my sister and I said, "Well, what are we supposed to do? We just got back to Louisiana. We don't even know where our address or where we're living. We're in this house with this man." And he said, "Well, I called the orphanage, and at 3 o'clock, we're going to come pick you up." And
Cynthia, how old were you?
I was 6 at the time, and my sister was 8. And they said at 3 o'clock, he said, "At 3 o'clock, they're going to come pick you up." Well, my sister and I had always heard of bad things about orphanages, especially back in the 60s. And so we decided to run away, and we got our piggy banks, which were little plastic banks, and we took our clothes that we could, you know, carry on our back, and Rose and I ran away. And we were in Lafayette, Louisiana, and we, like I said, we didn't know our address, we had no telephone number, we didn't know where our mother was. But the first thing that a child does, especially us, was go to a grocery store and buy candy with money from our piggy banks. And while we were there, of course, the lady behind the counter realized that this picture was not right, that something was wrong with these 2 children. And so she called the police. And the police came, and a captain and his wife, which was very smart on their part, to send a woman. And they picked us up and said, "Well, we need to find your mom. You know, tell us as much as you can about us. Tell us, you know, whatever you can." And like I said, we were lost. We didn't have anyone. But they did find my mom. She was in the hospital for the night. I don't know how she got in the hospital. But they told my mom, they said, "You know, the state is going to take your children away because this is a terrible situation for them to be in." And they said, "We'll let you have them for one more night, but tomorrow bring them down to the welfare office, and they're going to be wards of the state." And this is in the 60s when there was a lot of race riots going on between the blacks and the whites. And my mother, when she got us that day, had nowhere for us to go. She couldn't go back to her ex-husband's house that, you know, caused all these problems. And we had nowhere to go. And I remember we used to have a African-American maid, and she says, "Well, maybe I could go there and she'll take me in." And so we went to this lady's home, and like I said, it was in the 60s, so this is not a good time between whites and blacks. And we knocked on the lady's door, and she opened the door, and she comes out of her door, and she looks around, and she says, "Marie, what are you doing here? You can't be here. This is a bad situation. You have to get out of this neighborhood. I can't take you in." And my mother says, "But we
Wow. Suzanne, I mean, can you imagine being that desperate? Well, just imagine from Cynthia and her sister's standpoint as children being in that moment of uncertainty.
I'm trying to process a mother marrying 9 times. I mean, that's a record, I think. But how wonderful that they had each other, those two little girls. I wonder how old Rose was.
Well, I'm wondering also what happened when they went to the door. Now, just before we go to our break, what we hear, what we've heard thus far, as they stand at the door, and that lady comes to answer the door, and she says, "Well, you know, under the social tension that existed between blacks and whites at that time in the 60s, it wasn't supposed to be." Well, when we come back from our break, you're going to hear what Cynthia experienced.
Well, and Danny, if I can say, knowing her as well as I do now, don't go away. Don't leave this radio station, because there is a story to be told.
Well, and the story that is to be told really is a story of what God, of course, did in her life, but what God is doing and can do and wants to do in the lives of each listener.
Absolutely.
And my friend, as you hear Cynthia Sharp, and of course Suzanne calls her Cindy, and she's known as Cindy, but as you listen to Cynthia, listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Even if you feel a moment of angst, anxiety, anger, fear, uncertainty, even like a child, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. Maybe you feel like life is, you're doing something that you never thought you'd do, but grabbing a piggy bank, as it were. Or maybe for real. What can God do with that? Well, stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it's something to hear in a moment of reflection on years before. When you think back as a child, well, Cynthia Sharp reflects back and shares with us what happened to her as a child. Before our break, they are standing at the door with her mother, and they have nowhere to go. So they've gone to the home of the maid. The house, this is in the 60s. It's a time when there's a great deal of social unrest. There's violence, there's fear, anxiety. And the maid opens the door and says these words. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maher with me, Cynthia Sharp, our guest. Get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifeway.com. And I would say share it with a family member. You hear me say that. Share it with a family member or friend. Now open your heart. And here's more with Cynthia Sharp.
We knocked on the lady's door, and she opened the door, and she comes out of her door, and she looks around, and she says, Marie, what are you doing here? You can't be here. This is a bad situation. You have to get out of this neighborhood. I can't take you in. And my mother says, but we have nowhere to go. And so she opened her door and let us in, and we all slept there. I said we had maybe, she had maybe six kids, and there were two of us, and we all slept on the same bed. And I always tell people, how can anyone be prejudiced? Look at what this woman did for us. And I will always remember her. It's almost like Jesus writing, having people write the women's names in the Bible that they're remembered throughout history. And I wish I remembered her name, but I don't, because throughout my history, she will always be remembered. And because she took us in. And so the next day, my mother did bring us to the welfare office, and they put us, my sister and I, in foster care. The first home was, it was an elderly man, 84 years old, and his wife. The man only spoke French, Cajun French. And they had had other foster kids, and I loved it there. But the only problem, Mr. Anderson died, and so Mrs. Anderson didn't want to have children anymore. So we were only there for a short time, for a year. So they had to find us a new home. And we asked the social worker, we said, please find us a home where they speak English and that they're around, you know, regular parents' ages, you know, not in their 70s and 80s, but maybe 30s or 40s, you know, and try to, you know, whatever. Well, they said that there weren't a lot of people taking foster children at that time. And the home that they found us was a woman that was 70 years old. Her husband had died many years previously. She only spoke Cajun French. She never went to school. She was uneducated, not dumb or unwise, but just uneducated. And that's the home that they sent us to. Completely opposite of what we had desired. So we were there for 10 years, my sister and I. My sister, after 3 years, ran away from the home. And that's another story. She was put in a juvenile mental facility. She was pregnant at the time at 13 years of age. And I never saw my sister after that. And later on in life, my sister was murdered. So that was very painful. But so while in my guardian's name was Madame Delcom. Like I said, she only spoke French, so that's how I remember her name always, is Madame Delcom. And I loved her, but the only problem is that she didn't love me. And so I was with her for 10 years, and she was good to me. I mean, she was not violent or... But she always told me that I would be like my mother, you know, and that means that I would be a whore like my mother because she married 9 times. Or she always told me that, you know, she told me many times, why don't you run away like your sister did? Because Mrs. Delcom just didn't want to take care of kids, but she had a lot of pride and just didn't want anybody to think that she couldn't handle a child. You know, it's a strange situation. But I said, well, no, I'll never run away. And she just didn't like that about me because I was not one to run away or to give up. And so after 10 years, she was 80 years old, tired of taking care of me, but didn't want to admit it to any of her relatives or friends or neighbors. And she told everyone around that would listen that I was rebellious and that I was causing problems in the home. And so one day we were sitting down in the kitchen, and I told Mrs. Duncan I loved her many times in French, but she always told me, you don't know how to say it correctly, so don't say it. And of course that would hurt me, you know, but one time I had sat down in the kitchen with her, and the same thing had happened. I said, you know, I can't take this anymore. I can't live in this home like this anymore. She says, well, call the welfare. And one thing, Mrs. Duncan didn't drive a car or dial a telephone. They had rotary phones back then. And so she says, you have to call the welfare and tell them to come pick you up and find you another home. And I was 17 years old. I was in midway through my senior year. And I remember thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? Are they just going to put me on the street? When I'm 18, do they just throw you out on the street? There were no counseling sessions with the social workers giving me a life plan or trying to show me what would happen, you know, when I was graduated from high school. And I was always saying, Lord, I don't understand. What am I going to do? And finally, when I called the welfare, they called back and they said, we found your home in New Iberia in the same city so that I could graduate from high school. But they said, we're going to do one more thing for you. And I said, what's that? They said, we're giving you a full ride scholarship to LSU because I had made great grades and I had done well in school. But believe me, that was from the Lord. They had never done that for a welfare child before. And it was something, of course, I'll always remember and be grateful for the Lord for. So I stayed. My third foster home was the Boudreaux's, and it was finally I had a man in the household who was my father, and I had never been raised with a father, and they are still my...
What difference did that make?
Oh, it made a huge difference. I'll tell you, though, the first time when I went into the home, you know, they told me to call them Mom and Dad. Well, that was very hard for me because I called two other foster mothers Mom. And one of them rejected me. I need to go back to that. But when I left Mrs. Delcombe's home, when the social worker came to pick me up, Mrs. Delcombe told me, Cindy, I never want to see your face again. You're dead to me. I never want to hear your voice. I never want to see you again. And so when the social worker came to pick me up, she parked the car in the back of the house, and I bought out my one suitcase. That's all I had from all my years of living with Mrs. Delcombe, was this old cardboard suitcase. And she turned her back and walked the other way and never said goodbye. And that, to me, you know, that was very painful at that time. So when I went into my new household, like I said, it was very hard to call a new set of parents Mom and Dad. I said, well, that's going to take a while for me to do because I've never had a dad, so that's really strange. And to have someone say, call me Mom, when I've had moms, but, you know, I've been taken away from moms and I've been rejected, you know, so it was very hard. But my dad was such, my foster father was such a kind man. I stayed with them for half a year until I graduated, and then I went to LSU, which is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And my father worked at a job where he had what's called a Watts line, where you could call free for long distance calls. And every Friday night, he would call me at my dorm at LSU and just talk to me. I'd never had that in my life. We would talk for an hour every Friday night. And that drew myself and him very close to each other because he cared enough for this stranger in his home to call her every Friday night just to talk. And
you sound like you looked forward to those calls.
Oh, I did. I did. Because, you know, my dad's name was on my birth certificate. It was Charles Gilbert Swovelin, but I'd never met him. And that's a whole nother story. It's very different. But anyway, and I always had dreamed. I said, Lord, when I graduated from high school, I said, Lord, here I've made good grades. I'm going to college.
She's trying, Cynthia Sharp. She's trying. She's, but she keeps getting rejected, and it's at the. Can you imagine, Suzanne, at the deepest level for people that you think would give you? I mean, it's not just a rejection. It's like rejection on steroids. You know, I mean,
well,
not to say
especially
goodbye,
when she says,
turn
"As far as I'm concerned,
her.
You're dead."
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
I mean.
But Danny, are you hearing that she calls to the Lord? I'm fascinated by that.
Well, and then now the relationship with her new father,
mm-hmm.
who calls her.
Yes.
And, you know, something about a phone call, you know, the phone call of hope, the phone call of love, the phone call of tenderness. Now, that seems to be like the kind of phone calls that she was receiving there while she was at LSU with her new dad.
Well, and you're not going to remember this, Danny, but in those days, you didn't make long-distance calls. And so as she shared, she had this special Watt line, but that he would take, now stop it, that he would take the time, you know, and that would be important to him because, I mean, in those days, we didn't do long-distance phone calls. I mean, you just didn't.
Is it too expensive?
Right.
And if you did, inaccessible even.
Well, no, you could, but it was too expensive. And if you did, you had 3 minutes, and that was it. So this is, he really cared deeply for her to make these weekly calls.
Weekly calls, and what access. Dear friend, as you listen to that, and even as Suzanne has brought in this the perspective of the time and the cost, and it just reminds me, as we go to break, that we have access to God, mm-hmm. our Father, mm-hmm. and that God, our Father, reaches out to us. We can converse, we can share, we can talk to God. And it's something that we are privileged to do, but have you taken the opportunity? Do you long to know that God wants to hear you?
Mm-hmm.
That God wants to hear your voice? Cynthia said that he would call her every week just to talk. Oh, the Lord wants to talk. To talk with you. God, our Heavenly Father, loves you so much. And I'm sure it's not always great things, good things. Sometimes it's challenging things. And he welcomes that. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the marvel of God's grace is that he works in our lives, even in times of pain, even in times of bewilderment, when there's confusion. Well, Cynthia Sharp has lived in several foster care homes growing up, but she got a full-ride scholarship at Louisiana. And there she is in school, and her new foster father has access through his work, and he calls her every week, something she's been completely inexperienced by, you know, receiving the love of a father. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. This is a pre-recorded interview with Cynthia Sharp. Suzanne calls her Cindy Sharp. She might be known by you as Cindy. Well, Cynthia shares heart to heart with us. Open your heart as she continues to share this riveting story.
Because he cared enough for this stranger in his home to call her every Friday night just to talk. And
you sound like you looked forward to those calls.
Oh, I did. I did. Because, you know, my dad's name was on my birth certificate. It was Charles Gilbert Swovelin, but I'd never met him. And that's a whole nother story. It's very different. But anyway, and I always had dreamed. I said, Lord, when I graduated from high school, I said, Lord, here I made good grades. I'm going to college. And I don't even have my father never once contacted me in the whole time that I've been alive. He's never said one word to me. I don't even know where he is or who he is. And so it meant the world to me to have this man care for me. You know, and they were a wonderful family. They're still my family to this day. As a matter of fact, my dad died last year, and it was very hard for me. But one thing he did years ago, I'd written 20-something years ago, I'd written him a Father's Day card, and he kept it for 25 years. And at his funeral, the one thing they put in the front by the altar was pictures of the family and my letter to my dad, because he kept it all that time. That meant the world to me.
Wow.
How can you not? That was so precious to me. And it meant the world that he would even think to keep that letter. You know, so it was,
Cynthia,
the Lord was good.
Cynthia, what kind of things would you talk about on Friday night?
He would ask me, you know, we would talk about just regular things. How's classes? I had a boyfriend. His name's Bob. He's my husband that I've had for 37 years now. We talked about their family had six children, and we talked about the various lives of the children. We talked about our faith. They were Catholic. I'm not Catholic, but just everything and anything that you could think of to talk about, we just did. Mm. And it was just wonderful. But after the thing about my sister Rose, I wanted to talk about her. I told you when she was 13 that she went to live in a mental institution. When she was 18, she was released from that, and then she became a prostitute. And at the age of 40, I guess she had an argument with her pimp, I guess that's what they call him, and she took a ride with a truck driver, and the truck driver killed her and tossed her on the side of the road. And a pastor's wife was going down the highway and saw this body on the side of the road and realized that it was a body and called the cops, and they came and found Rose. And the thing of it is that I had not seen Rose since she was 13 years old and I was 11 years old. And so I went to her funeral, and it wasn't not an open casket because she had deteriorated on the side of the highway. And but that was the first time that I'd seen all my brothers and sisters, all my half-brothers and sisters. I got to meet three brothers and two sisters at the funeral. So that it was a sad time, but it was a good thing because I got to hook up with my real family. But then my mother, when I was 13 years old, she lived in Arkansas, and she, excuse me, Alabama, and she used to come and visit us at the welfare office in Lafayette. At that time, they would allow the parents to come to the welfare office, and then the foster mother would bring you to the office, and that's where your visits would be. And we'd have an hour visit every once in a while whenever she came. Well, she came when my sister ran away from home, from the foster home. My mother came, but Mrs. Delkin would not allow her in the house. I didn't get to see her at that time. Well, about 2 years later, when I was 13 years old, my mother committed suicide. And so all I can think about is that my mother had knocked on the door at Mrs. Delkin's house to try to come in to see me, and she was not allowed to. And that was the last time I heard her voice, is when I was 13 years old. And she was only 36 years old when she committed suicide. So that was hard also.
How did, you know, having all these experiences, and by the way, thank you for your openness and being willing to share them, but how did you become a Christian?
Well, and that's the good part. My mother's mother, my grandmother, she lived in Arkansas, and my sister and I, Rose, would go to her house when my mother was between husbands or jobs or whatever else. My grandmother was like the fallback person, and she would take care of us. My grandmother was a Christian woman, always loved the Lord with all her heart, but she was married to an alcoholic husband. And so it wasn't a real stable environment. But I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my grandmother, and this is a real simple thing that she told my sister and I, she took a regular dish, a plate, and she said, okay, Rose and Cynthia, you each of you pull on this plate in the middle of us. You know, we had the plate in the middle, and we, like a tug of war. And she says, that's like God and Satan. Satan's always trying to pull you away, and God is always pulling you back. And then she was a smoker, so she had a lighter. And she says, now she would light her lighter, and she says, see this flame? Satan's always trying to burn you, and God puts out the fire. Well, when she told me that, I understood that, and I believed in the Lord from that time forth. I loved him. And even in all the things that I've gone through, I've always known that the Lord was with me. When I lived at Mrs. Delkin's house, I used to pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, all I see are thorn bushes around me, and I just need you to hold my hand to walk through the thorn bushes. And I always knew that. It's funny, I'd never prayed, Lord, let me walk around the thorn bushes. I never even prayed that. I always said, help me to go through those thorn bushes. And I always tell people, he walked with me through the thorn bushes, and he's still walking with me today. And when I was 50 years old, I'm 58 at this time. My husband always told me, Cindy, don't you want to know who your real father is? Don't you want to find out who he is? And through the years, and this is before the internet was, you know, I would go to libraries and look up my last name, which is Swovlin, and try to find anyone who had that last name. And we found them in Indiana. But I had no way to really get in touch with anyone because I had no clue who was related to me. But I did go on Ancestry.com when I was 50 years old and found my father's name in various family trees on their site. And one of them said that Charles Swovlin was their grandfather. So I knew that they were related to me. But they on the site, they give you the living, they only tell you the dead Swovlin's names, but not the living Swovlin's. And they said there were four living Swovlin's. And I looked at that, and they said you could write.
Fathers have quite an indelible impression one way or another on our lives, don't they, Suzanne?
Oh, they definitely do, especially for little girls, Danny. A daddy is so wonderful, and that's why...
Even a little girl who is 50 years old?
Yes. And
why is that? What is the connection you think you feel, a daughter and her father?
Well, I think there's an innate love that God places in our hearts for our earthly fathers and certainly our heavenly father. And our mothers are very important for a different perspective, but there's just something about, I think, little girls and their daddies. And
now today, a little girl who may be in her 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s,
mm-hmm.
or beyond,
mm-hmm.
or in their 20s, listens, and there's a gaping hole that hurts. And it's not something, it's a bit hard to even listen to this program because of that.
Yes.
A word to them, Suzanne.
Well, what I'd like to do is share a wonderful book called The Blessing. And that is one of the most powerful books I've ever read if you're missing the love of an earthly father. And so that's very important.
What if someone can't get the book right now? A word, a timely moment in this instance.
I think you just need to know your Heavenly Father. And if you don't know Him, I just urge you to talk to a friend, a counselor, a relative, someone that knows Jesus, and pray. Oh, how Cindy prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and say, Lord, I need you. I don't know how to find you. I need you in this time to just direct my path so that I can know my Heavenly Father who loves me beyond anything I could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and even now as we go to our break, it may be a moment where you're unable to express. Maybe your emotions are stirred, perhaps. This, through Cindy's sharing, it's touching a part of you that has not been touched in a long, long time. And you might not even know why this is all happening. It may be a strange moment. You might feel, equilibrium. Well, you might feel like you're losing your equilibrium at this time. But I would say, and I think Suzanne would be there with me, that in this moment of bewilderment, confusion, pain, that Christ is here. And giving you access to our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Through faith in Jesus and what He's done for healing. Yes, healing and hope. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. How they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani,
Brand Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinanan Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So Cynthia Sharp in this pre-recorded interview is sharing how she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the difference that Christ has made in her life. And I want to encourage you to open your heart to what the Lord has to say to you in this moment, where I believe the Lord will bring healing and hope, even though it may be challenging because of the pain of the past. There can be hope, however, in Jesus, hope for the future. Here's more from Cindy Sharp. And Suzanne and I will be back in a few moments with some closing thoughts.
But I did go on Ancestry.com when I was 50 years old and found my father's name in various family trees on their site. And one of them said that Charles Swovlin was their grandfather. So I knew that they were related to me. But they on the site, they give you the living, they only tell you the dead Swovlin's names, but not the living Swovlin's. And they said there were four living Swovlins. And I looked at that, and they said you could write to people whose family's tree that this name is in. So I wrote to all these people. And the one that had the living Swovlins never responded to me. And I remember sitting down on myself and telling my husband and the Lord, Lord, I just give up. It's been so many years. If you don't want me to know my father, it's okay. I've had a wonderful father. You've been my father. And but finally, after 6 months, this person replies to me, and they said, who are you? We don't even know who you are, and you're saying you're related to us. And so my husband said, well, send a picture of yourself and send your birth certificate, and I did that. And this girl, it was my niece, I came to find out, she says, you look, and it's all exclamation parts, you look just like my mom, you look just like my aunt, we know that you're one of us, we need to find out who you are, you know, and... But come to find out, my mother had married my father. They were married for a month. My mother left him, and he never realized that she was pregnant with me. And so they never knew that they had a sister. And I have four Swovlin siblings, two brothers and two sisters. I went to Indiana to see them with my husband and stayed in one of their houses. And I look just like them. I'm a spitting image. My father had died many years before. And I remember my sister, who is 10 years older than me, she's the next youngest to me, she's 10 years older. She sat me down at the table and I was telling her about my foster homes and things like that. And the question she asked me, she says, Cynthia, she says, if Dad would have known they had another child, he would have moved heaven and earth to take care of you. He never would have let you go on through all that you went through. And I looked at her, and she says, are you bitter? And I looked at her and said, how can I be bitter? The Lord has given me a good life. He's given me more than I could even imagine, because he did walk me through those thorn bushes, and I was unscathed. So, you know, I'm just so grateful for the Lord. And when I talk about my testimony, the thing that I want people to know is that God loves you. God is faithful. God does not forsake you. And I've learned many lessons in my life, and he's still working on me. Believe me, every time I read the word, it's like his two-edged sword is cutting through bone and marrow, and I'm learning something new that I need to know.
What did it feel like? What did it feel like when you saw them? and it they was, saw you. What went on inside?
It is so strange because I thought I would break into tears because I'm one of those people that you need a box of Kleenex by me. I cry all the time. But I didn't. I just, when I opened that door and saw my sister has cerebral palsy, so she was in a wheelchair. And of course, it's the first time I ever saw her, too. I think what I saw first was the wheelchair. It's kind of strange because I'm compassionate. I hope I'm compassionate to people, you know, and that was the first thing I thought about. What can I do for her, you know, when I saw this wheelchair? So it really didn't strike me as a real emotional thing until when I came home from the visit, because I had time to process everything. And it was wonderful. And we still keep in touch today. I mean, I love my sisters and brothers. It was a neat reunion.
Now, how did your relationship with your husband, or would it be your boyfriend back
in college.
Your college days at LSU, right? How did that all develop?
Well, I will tell you that when I was younger, because of the way I was raised, I did not know what love was. I looked for love in all the wrong places, like the song goes. You know, I always thought if I had a number of boyfriends that would fill a void in my life, because I never had a father either, like I said, until I was 17 years old. So I did have quite a few boyfriends. But when I went to college, I met my husband the first day of college, and we just hit it off. And I remember wanting to tell him that I cared for him, but I kept thinking, Lord, I don't want to say love to another person that truly doesn't love me back. You know, I was hoping, I said, but I, you know, Lord, I care for this person. Should I tell him I love him? Because this, you know, it's just such a hard thing for a young girl to know if this was the right thing to say, you know, because especially after I had a father who would talk to me and tell me things and tell me how I should act and not act, you know. And but Bob and I have been, like I said, we got married. He's a wonderful man. He comes from an intact home. It's always amazes me that God gave me a God-fearing man in my life. We both love the Lord with all our hearts. I've had a wonderful marriage.
And you've raised two
children.
Kids.
I have two daughters, and and this is another thing. My daughters were raised in Christian homes, and they have both turned their backs on the Lord. They're very intelligent girls and have their own households and their own careers. And one says she's an atheist now, and the other says she believes in the Lord, but she picks and chooses what she believes. And that's heartbreaking. But, you know, I cling to the promises of God that he will bring them back because they know the word of God. And I feel for people because I see people all around and say, Lord, how can it be that my girls were raised in this Christian home and these kids weren't, and yet they're Christian and they love the Lord. It boggles my mind. But hey, the Lord's not finished with me yet, you know, and so I know he's gonna bring them back.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say to someone who, in their life right now, they are, you know, looking back at the past, in their past, there may be some points of overlap with yours, but maybe not. But at the same time, there may be areas of reason for pain.
Right.
I would imagine you have had reason for pain, even as your sister asked you, are you bitter? But maybe someone is bitter. What would you say to someone who feels like that? Right now,
I would say you need to forgive. I had many a things that were done to me in my life. I was sexually molested by one of my mother's boyfriends. I've had so many hurts, you know, rejection and hurts in my life. But the one thing is that I've always known to just let God take care of that. You know, just to forgive and to let go, because it only destroys you. It doesn't destroy the person that hurt you or anything else. It destroys you. And just let God take control of your life. Give it to him and let him soothe the pain. You know, he's the only one that can bring you joy anyway. So,
Cynthia, what's your favorite?
Well, Cynthia Sharp sharing tender words of a tender period of life. Suzanne, your thoughts?
I just hope that our listeners heard the faithfulness of God through this interview. I have the joy of knowing her husband, Bob. And God brought the most wonderful, tender-hearted, caring, strong, loving Christian husband to her. And the other point I don't want us to miss is, I'm going to say Cindy's understanding and grasp of the value of forgiveness. Listen to her story. She could have had so much bitterness, so much anger, but no, God graced her with a loving, compassionate, forgiving heart. And I just have been so blessed by our time with her today. And I know that she would want to say, to God be the glory.
Indeed, to God be the glory. Suzanne, we've got just about 30 seconds, a prayer for our dear listener now in this tender moment.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person that has listened today. You love them so very much. You want to live in their hearts. You don't want to walk just beside them. You want to live within them through the Holy Spirit. Draw them to you, dear Lord, because you're the one that does the drawing. And for those that know you and love you, help them to share with others that don't, that your kingdom can be increased and that your love can just permeate through this program, through our listeners, to others. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. A heart-to-heart moment with Cynthia Sharp. Hey, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. You can use this program, send it to a friend or family member. And if you haven't done so, open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support and your prayers to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 119:35. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Cynthia Sharp. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.